Bite into a stack sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams of protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises. Just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread see nutrition facts on hero.co.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
More Duggars today, everyone. And we're going to go through all different facets of the Duggar story, where it's at. The communication specifically is what we're going to be examining. A letter from Jim Bob to Joseph, which, believe it or not, seems to be the most grounded and sane communication of all of the communications we're about to go through today. And also, as you probably have heard, some of the phone calls between Kendra and Joseph Duggar. We're going to be playing some of them, and we're going to be breaking them down. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Of course, our co-host, always with us. We're going to be going through all of this. My goodness, Robin, there's a lot to get through here today. I read the Jim Bob letter. I've listened to a lot of portions of the calls. I haven't gone through them completely because I wanted to have a bit of an element of surprise as we go through it today.
But I listened to them twice.
Yeah, well, and there's more. They keep coming. There's more and more. I mean, delusional, I mean, seems to be the word. I don't know. What before we jump in, we're going to start with the letter here. But when you over the weekend had a chance to kind of to take some of it in, how would you describe what this is all about?
Boy, Tony, this has been a really challenging one because this hasn't been like, and it's interesting, we're delusional. Mm-hmm. But when you have a collective delusion, is it delusional or is it just a collective insanity?
Yeah.
Because it really is, you know, like Lori Daybell Vallow. Now that's delusional nutter, right? Mm-hmm. And same cult-like mentality. They had their own little version of their own religion going on. But the Duggars are something wholly different because, yes, it's fits the definition of cult-ish because mm-hmm. there's elements that don't quite make it, but it's this collective delusion. And I'll tell you, we were talking about this on the pre-show a few minutes ago. I'm really struck by how common this is to him, how non-surprising these things are that keep popping up. And as people have followed us for a while know, I'm such a lover of history. And I was like, where am I recognizing this from? Mm-hmm. Because I've seen this before in history. And you know what? You got to go back to what years was it? Like 800 to 400 BCE. Ancient Greeks, they had a culture. They had this ideology that, you know, we called it mentorship. But what they did to young boys really screams very similar horrendous things that they did, doing really bad things to boys, mm-hmm. And they called it mentorship. And yet it was a collective societal norm. It was gross. It was horrendous. And that's what I'm seeing with the Duggars. And just the IBLP, it is just this collective normalcy of stupid. It's disgusting.
It is. I mean, it, if you make that your normal and you give it a word that otherwise means something good, but there's something negative truly behind it, but nobody's thinking that when you're saying it aloud until you look at what they're actually defining that as. You're like, wait a second here. This isn't mentorship. But it's amazing what you can convince the collective the definition of a word is, even if that's not the true definition of it.
Yeah, because what was... You know, and so here's the, you know, so that's what the ancient Greeks did for this normalization of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And here's what the Duggars are doing. They're not saying, hey, abusing children is right. What they're doing is what's more right is forgiveness.
Yeah.
I did a lot of deeper research on trying to understand their hierarchy of sins and what they phrase their sins as. And that's what really struck me. So to understand how it is they're able to keep perpetuating this and not seemingly having this moral outrage that the rest of us are having, because I wrote a few of these things down. So So the number one sin you can do, they kind of have two categories as I've broken down. Again, I'm paraphrasing from my limited experience here. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's better experts on this. But the number one sin is rebellion against authority. That is the number one sin. So those whole umbrellas you put up for this, that is the number one sin, is rebellion against authority. The meek voice you hear the women go through and use, that's been trained into them because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be always happy, 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 mm-hmm. happy, no matter what. Happy voice, right? That's part of it. The number two sin is sexual sins by people in authority. But what they don't call it sexual sins. They call it moral failings. And so anytime you have a group that rationalizes behavior by reframing words so they have a lesser impact, that's a problem. So they call them moral failings. But I really think I don't want to say, because it's putting words into nutters' mouths, that they do these things intentionally. But what they really, really, really covet is forgiveness. And because when you forgive someone, they're restored. And so the whole premise of this entire cult is restoration. Restoration by vocalizing your moral shortcomings. And as soon as you vocalize them, you have to forgive, because forgiveness is the whole point of their whole nutter organization. So that's how this thing keeps perpetuating. Yeah. They lessen the impact by choosing softer words like moral failings instead of sexual abuse or S abuse, you know, because we're on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And restoration is what they are looking for. We want to be restored. So that's kind of as I understood it. So when I'm listening to these tapes, when I'm listening to these transcripts, I'm keeping that in mind. And they are spot on with that belief system when they're doing it.
It's so disturbing. I mean, it's crazy. Knock the blocks down and pick them back up. And then
they made it their own way. They made their own world.
Yeah, you're the hero for doing it. And if you're going to criticize someone for picking up the blocks after they knock them all down, then you're the wrong one.
Great analogy.
Frame it certain ways. And I mean, it's how they survive. And it's how people within those circles don't. When the ones that do get out, they're out. You can't be half in with this group or any sort of group that thinks this sort of way. It makes it impossible to be like, oh yeah, you know, we see them on the holidays. They're so fundamentally different than the rest of society that either you're all in or you're not, because you can't be kind of half in. Because if you're just half in, you're like, what the hell is going on over here? You either have to drink all the Kool-Aid or not at all. We're going to start with one of the letters. This is the letter that Jim Bob has written to Joseph in jail. He is out now, by the way. But here's Jim Bob's initial response to the shortcomings, the moral
failings, failings.
Moral failings of his son. Do we have? I want to get some appropriate music here. Here we go.
It was hard listening.
Joseph, I'm sorry for what you're going through. Mom and I love you very much. Looks like you have a long road ahead of you, but God'll get you through. You've made some terrible decisions, but God has already forgiven you if you have asked him. This is the first that we're seeing of any of the Duggars holding anybody somewhat accountable of saying, you made a bad choice. Kendra is doing well overall. That's his wife. She is trusting in the Lord. She loves you very much. Your kids are going to be okay. Let's talk to them when they're 30. Our family has pulled together to help. Several of the sisters and sisters-in-law have taken Kendra out and spent a lot of time with her. It is ridiculous that they charged Kendra and arrested her. We have hired an attorney to help Kendra. We are praying that we get her charges dropped. You would be so proud of your brothers and grateful for them for how they've all stepped up and are helping with the details of your business and helping Kendra, meaning he like had an Airbnb property or two. You are going to have to accept the situation at this point, and it's also fine to pray that God would have mercy on you, but you're probably going to face a major consequence for several years to come. I pray that God will bring other Christians into your life to encourage you, and that you can also point people to Christ even through the time you're in jail. God will be with you. He will get you and your family through. David in the Bible royally messed up, but he repented and became a man after God's own heart. You also like Joseph, who was in prison, can make lemonade out of lemons. I love you and will keep praying for you. Don't give up. God is not finished with your life. Love you, Dad. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. That's how Dad's dealing with...
Yeah, there's a lot there.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, what part do you want to go to first?
I don't even know. I don't know
where to start. So, one of the things that really struck me with both the letter and then all the jailhouse calls between Joseph and Kendra was the family, mm-hmm. the family. We know the family is a big part of this. And so remember, you can't rebel against authority. Family is authority. And so what they did is they swooped in to control the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing they're doing. The family is controlling the narrative. You're not going to go against the narrative. And so they swooped in to young Kendra, who is completely overwhelmed. And I know we'll get to this later on other segments, but you know, her incongruence between her words and her body falling apart because of the stress is quite remarkable and incredibly sad to listen to, as she's getting no sympathy whatsoever every time someone brings a problem. Oh, just keep praying, man. Just read this. The other thing that I found really striking, and you got to keep listening to all these things and reading to kind of see some chinks in this armor. And this was really interesting to me. The other thing that struck me, Tony, during this entire thing was I had a presumption that because this is such a religious Christian right-wing cult or cult-like mentality, that they were all exceptionally well-versed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really found interesting, they're well-versed selectively in the Bible. They have their own confirmation bias according to what they want to suck out, use for their own benefit, and manipulate. Because what's happened is, again, from my conjecture, from my observations and analysis, is that, remember, who's the nutter that created this IBLP?
Bill Gothard.
He created his own version of all this in his booklets and pamphlets in the homeschooling program. So they selectively have taken passages out of the Bible without studying the Bible, because Kendra seemed amazed at all these things that Joseph is telling her to read. She's like, she doesn't do it. She's having a hard time doing it. He's Joseph behind bars. Oh, it's the first time I've read Psalms. Oh, Psalms is pretty good. Oh, this version of the Bible is like, everyone seemed pretty... I was shocked at their lack of education in an area I thought they're going to be really well-versed in. They're well-versed in the doctrine that they were indoctrinated into, not what they are claiming is their source material. So their source material and the doctrine are way off. So it really reminded me of? I remember after 9/11 in New York when I'm working with Middle Eastern countries and Middle Eastern recruitments and everything like this. And I remember one of my people that I'd recruited and became a great source of intelligence for us, and he's from a Middle Eastern country. I remember asking him, you know, what's the biggest problem, you know, that's creating, you know, fundamentalists, you know, that are very anti-world, anti-West. And he goes, so that's easy. He goes, said, money is one thing, because if they have the fear of they're going to lose something, then you want to hold on to what you have fear. Remember, fear is the greatest motivator. So if losing something is part of it, so they have to have some way to provide income. But also education. I said, what do you mean by education? I've heard this a lot. He goes, when you can't read the Quran for yourself and you're relying on the mullahs to teach you and tell you what's in that document, you're now only going to be resonating with what you were taught by a mullah, which not necessarily in the Quran. Mm-hmm. And what do we have here? Exactly the same thing. You are taught something by the founder of IBLP, and it's not actually what's in. So they're not reading it for themselves. They're actually reading the crap that were spewed out in the homeschooling, in all their pamphlets of learning, and all their clubs that they send you, their work camps during the summer to rehabilitate you from doing your S crimes against other children.
Yeah.
So they created their own whole universe that is separate, because I want to make sure, you know, that what we're saying, this is not a religious bashing. This is like, they created their own religion completely.
This is a come to Jesus for those who are in the
Literally.
In the cult. Literally. Literally.
That's what brainwashing is. So yeah,
or is they're going to look at us as the enemy. What I'm finding interesting here, and I'm seeing some of the dynamic at play, and I'm investigating this off the air, and there'll be some pieces about it soon, is the dynamics about the Duggars and Kendra. Because Kendra, I mean, she was brought up in a very religious family. It wasn't IBLP. It was a Baptist one. It wasn't quite IBLP, but pretty extreme. Their family had a fallout with the Duggars. Jim Bob, allegedly, and her dad had allegedly this fallout several years ago. Around 2020. Interesting timing. Around the time of a certain family vacation where a certain thing allegedly happened. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, we can't confirm anything, but it's very interesting. What I'm interested in watching here right now, and I think everybody should be paying really close attention to, is the wagons being circled around Kendra. Because Kendra is a loose end for them, because Kendra could very quickly go, you know what? I'm out. I'm not part of y'all. Because the way it looks right now, and again, I could be very off on this, but from what I've read on the internets, and I'm not saying that just like some random stuff. I mean, it's a lot of information that's out there on this. It looks like there's a level of estrangement that is going on between Kendra and her own family. I don't know exactly if that's with them and their daughter, or if it's more so the Duggars as a whole, and it's just kind of rough patches between, but there's some roughness. I would venture to say, in my opinion, if I were to look at these two families, Kendra's family, not such big fans of the Duggars. I think they might see them for what they are, in my opinion. And the way that the Duggars are circling the wagons around Kendra, we're going to provide you with an attorney. We're going to take care of your children. We're going to take care of all of your earthly needs. So basically, you can't get rid of us, because we are engrossing ourselves into we're tentacling ourselves into every little aspect of your life to prevent you from breaking out of this. She's out staying with one of the brothers right now. And stupid enough to say it on a recording. So she is being, I mean, and look, families, you know, this is nothing crazy. Families do circle their wagons and they go and they support each other. But there's what I would say would be like noble for the right reason, moral, ethical support. And then there's let's make sure she doesn't say anything too nasty or too much of the truth doesn't come out. Because Kendra, I think, could probably spill quite a bit of shit that we don't know about yet, that nobody knows about yet, that she's been dealing with, that maybe if somebody put a little spotlight on it and go, oh, see, you know, it's like with the Duggars, it's folks like this, you know, you take the black light and go, oh, holy shit, look how dirty this room is. But they don't see it that way until they get the black light shown on it. And I think there's a lot there to be seen, which they should incidentally do around that home, Tawnytown Police Department, as suggested by Jennifer Coffendaffer. Go take the black light. Let's go look around the Duggar house. Let's look in those kids' bedrooms and see what sort of fluids we find, because that may answer a lot of questions. They're very much trying to entrench her, it feels like, in my opinion, to keep her as part of the fold, because I think her as a loose cannon could be even more devastating than their own children leaving, because she has a whole other family behind her that I'm sure would love to be behind her and have her seeing reality on reality's terms, because she is not right now. And we'll get into that in a minute with the phone calls.
Yeah. And one of the viewers, Mark Fry, put in, you know, the word threatens. I don't think there's a lot of threatening going on. But remember, this cult is all about authority.
Coercive control.
And it's going against authority. So this, Tony, this makes total sense what you're seeing. Again, conjecture from what we're seeing on the Google machine, right? There being a rift in families. I know if one of my children was having their spouse or significant other accused of this, we'd be leaving Nutterville in 5 seconds. saying we, you know, and we'd be having some very, very pragmatic, objective conversations about next steps in life, about working this problem and about resolving this and breaking away from the nutters. And so what's happening is if that's any semblance of truism, which if it's a healthy, normal family, mm-hmm. it is. Kendra's already been indoctrinated to a large degree. You can tell because she's taken on The Voice, like in the movie Dune.
Yeah.
The Voice, right? She's got The Voice going, which means she's been indoctrinated and just listening to the phone calls and everything. And then what's happened is, remember, they are circling the wagons of control. So this family is love bombing and validating bombing her, saying, hey, we got this. Just sit back. We got this. Keep your voice going. You'll be rewarded. God is testing. We love a test. This is what life is about. Life is about a struggle. Life is about testing. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you're taking on this, it means that you're a righteous person. You'll be rewarded. Oh my God. And so she has on one side a family that is love bombing, circling the wagons around her, protecting her from their point of view, but really controlling her narrative because you cannot speak out against the authority. Remember those umbrellas, you can't step out of the umbrella. They don't have to say it. They're implying what happens if you step out from that umbrella, because we've seen, I think, some pretty granular interactions they've had when cameras haven't been on or they don't think they've been on. And it's everything's very congruent. That's what's really striking about this. I don't think there's an act going on. They all believe this crazy.
Yes.
And they're living this crazy. And so they are just doing what they normally do when something goes awry. But see, this is interesting. I don't think they see this as going awry. They say, thank goodness we're being tested again.
Yeah.
This is the way it's supposed to be. In other words, I don't think they really have, like the two boys, Joseph and Josh, were they really taught to not do this? I know they weren't encouraged to do these things. I mean, that's incongruent. I don't believe it. Their parents, I don't believe Jim Bob or Michelle are trying to encourage these kids to do these things.
No.
But there was really an incentive to not. If all you had to do to be forgiven of this moral sin was to ask for forgiveness. And now it's everyone's responsibility to give restoration. Because restoration overcomes any sin. You see how this cyclical thing works? So where's the motivation to not do something abhorrent, but it's not abhorrent to them, it's just a moral failure.
When you can just write everything off as a moral failure and you're immediately forgiven, I mean...
Yes.
It seems so common to them. Yeah, you don't sit with the consequence. You don't sit with the guilt. You don't sit with the shame. And I guess that was one of the most striking things to me.
There's no guilt or shame, yes.
About these phone calls that we're about to take a listen to. It's absent of guilt or shame. Absent. I get you can only say certain things on a jailhouse phone call, but this is just completely absent. I've heard plenty of jailhouse phone calls where the person's guilty as shit and they're shame. This is just like, he's like ready to order an Arby's, roast beef sandwich.
I know.
And there's just nothing to it. Your thoughts in the comment section on this part, on Jim Bob's letter and everything, give it to us on Substack and YouTube. The links are right there in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.